Welcome to the broadcast of Brooklyn Baptist Church, where the senior pastor is the Reverend Dr. Charles B. Jackson, Sr. Brooklyn has two locations, one church. For more information about all the services of Brooklyn Baptist Church, please visit us on the web at brooklynbaptist.org. That's BrooklynBaptist.org. As we prepare for the word today, please reference number 020319. Amazing Grace, coming from the book of John, chapter 9, verse 20 to 25. We now join the services of Brooklyn Baptist Church, already in progress. Have a blessed day in the Lord.
We added fasting to our prayer, and the grace of God abounded more. I heard some say they felt empty physically, but were more full of the Spirit of God's presence than they've ever been. As a result of fasting, their mind was open to see and understand some things which had earlier been unclear. Someone said because of the fast, they were delivered from depression and given greater peace like they've never known. Another person said she had a physical healing of a condition she had suffered from for years. Several persons spoke of how their blood pressure was lowered, cholesterol numbers got better, and they felt healthier than they've ever been in a long, long time. I continued listening to the testimonies and writing them down as I heard them. And another person spoke of how the grace of God, oh, glory, hallelujah, the grace of God endured and ordered them to buy material possessions when otherwise they were unable to do so. And God, in other words, God blessed them materially. I mean, they had been praying for this material blessing for months and months before. But when they began fasting, God gave deliverance to it. Someone said, I got my joy back. I had not cooked in years. But I was encouraged to start cooking again because of the fast. Many who lost weight are encouraged to not return to some of the unhealthy eating habits they had prior to the fast. Well, I'm getting a big clap on that one. They're not going to eat like they once did because they came to realize they can do without some of those things that are not always in their good health interests. One father told me, watch this, he had been praying every day for his son to return home to him. After fasting, lo and behold, and I think he said it happened here in church, lo and behold, he looked around and there was his son having returned home to his joyful delight. Now you got to remember now, we've been praying for it. Are you praying? We've been praying for it. But now upon fasting, God is delivering it. It just affirms the truth of God, what said God said. Now everybody applauded and some stood up when someone gave a testimony of praying for God to give her a job transfer or a new job. Y'all remember that prayer? She said she was struggling with some of her co-workers. She said she was having a difficult time with the co-workers, and being a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, she was concerned, and so she thought it was best for her to leave the job. And so she was praying and praying for God to give her a transfer. But when she started fasting, when she added fasting to her praying, by the time, Reverend Richard Johnson, you heard it, she said, by the time the fast was ended, she was promoted to director and placed over those same employees who she was having difficulty with. Oh, she's in here this morning. I'm not going to call her name. She said, "That's and this is how the Lord will make your enemies." That blew me. That was a wow.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will.
Whew. Amazing grace. Now, if those testimonies weren't prayerfully moving enough after the prayer hour was over, a family came and gave their lives to Jesus and joined the church on a Wednesday night. Watch this, son. And I would not have them to wait until Sunday to come down. I took the information right then and just gave it to Deacon Oliver Williams before worship began. But let me tell you how it happened. This is the prayer fasting power of how it happened. Because, see, I was standing around and celebrating the testimonies we had heard. And they came to me and said they wanted to become members of Brooklyn, the family. One young lady had begun fasting with us who was not a member of the church. And as a result of the fast, she gave her life to Jesus Christ. She joined the church last Sunday morning and was baptized last Sunday night. Watch this, boy. I'm not through with it. She told her joy to her sister and her father. And they came to prayer hour Wednesday night and joined the church because the joy they saw in sister and daughter, they wanted that kind of joy, because the kind of joy that young lady had was the kind of joy that the world can't give in the world. So that family said they wanted the kind of joy that she had. Wow. Amazing grace. And something tells me that it has only just begun. I've been so overjoyed with joy in the Lord that I have asked for us to continue in prayer every Wednesday through February, and we'll begin Bible study in March. And y'all don't mind me suspending Bible study just to get some more of these testimonies. Because I don't know what's going to happen here on Wednesday night when 500 people coming together and praying. It's God's amazing grace at work. We thank God for his grace. In the miracle of the man born blind, about which we concluded a three-part series last Sunday, we saw God's amazing grace in action. As was pointed out last Sunday, the prescription Jesus gave this man for his physical blindness is also good for those who are spiritually blind. You can avoid worrying yourself sick and rushing yourself to an early grave if you heed the wisdom of Jesus in this miracle healing. Because last Sunday I said that when you're wanting to deal with somebody who tells you they can't see it or who won't see it, regardless of all of what you're trying to do to help them to see it, having already talked about we don't see with our eyes, we see through our eyes and we see with our mind, I said to you that we need to state the issues in terms of the facts involved. The man was born blind, a fact. The man had never seen a day in his life, a fact. Then secondly, we said, present an action plan. Jesus told the man who was born blind, he says, if you want to see, now I'm going to do for you what I can do for you, or what I will do for you, but you got to do something for yourself. Go. And washed in the pool of Siloam, the man did what God told him, that Jesus told him to do, and he came away seeing. The man had to be responsible. He had to take some responsibility for his healing himself. He had to do something himself for him to receive his sight. And then thirdly, last Sunday, we said, above all, make sure they get to Jesus. And the reason we said to make sure they get to Jesus, because if Jesus can't do it, nobody can. Now, after this man received his sight, the people began to question his parents. How did it happen? Who did it? Why was it done? And the parents said, we don't know. We weren't there. Ask him. He can speak for himself. Let him tell you what happened, who did it, and how it was done. He is of age. He can speak for himself. When you hear now from this unsighted man who now sees, this blind man whose eyes have been opened, you will note that what he said speaks of God's amazing grace. He said, I don't have an answer to all these questions you are asking me. I can't explain what happened to me. All I know is that a man named Jesus made some clay and anointed my eyes and told me to wash in the pool of Siloam. Having not seen a day in my life, I did what this man named Jesus told me to do. I went to the pool of Siloam and I washed in the pool, and all of a sudden my eyes were open and I beheld the beauty of God's creation. In other words, it was God's amazing grace. The man said, in essence, I don't have the answers to those questions you're asking. All I know is that he looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. So I need you to permit me, if you don't mind, to say three things about God's amazing grace. First of all, grace is the hand of God reaching down. Yeah. The hand of God reaching down. In Bible study, I took the time to try to illustrate what grace is all about, because Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are we saved through faith. It's nothing of our own doings. It's the gift of God. So we don't have anything to boast about just because we're saved. We don't have anything to boast about just because we are righteous. We don't have anything to boast about because of our holiness. It's God's grace, hand of grace reaching down. And this is how I put it. I say, you see, when you're saved, God's hand of grace, G-R-A-C-E, G-R-A-C-E, God's redemption at Christ's expense. God's hand of grace reaching down, and then man's hand of faith reaching up. Faith, F-A-I-T-H, faith, F-A-I-T-H, faith, forsaking all, I trust him. Y'all got me there? You got me there? Faith, forsaking all, I trust him. So God's hand of grace reaches down. Man's hand of faith reaches up. And when God's hand of grace connects with man's hand of faith, we are saved. Woo. See, the Old Testament law was necessary in order to reveal to man his weaknesses and inabilities to please God. The law was purposeful in making known to us that we were incapable of saving ourselves. But what the law of God could not do, the grace of God did. All right. Let me point that out for you. Yeah. The law said man is guilty, therefore condemn him. Grace says no, welcome him, forgive him, and embrace him. The law speaks of what man must do for God, but grace speaks of what God has done for man. The law represents the judgment of God, but grace represents the love and mercy of God. The law gave us frustration and failure, But grace gave us peace and joy unspeakable. The law showed us the sin that was in man's soul. But grace shows us the cleansing of a redeemed soul. The law said the wages of sin is death. But grace says the gift of God is eternal life. The law required man to reach up to God. But grace had God reaching down to man. And without grace, there would be no pardon for the guilty, no forgiveness for the sinful, no acquittal for the accused, no freedom for the prisoner, and no salvation for the sinner were it not for the grace of God. That's why John Newton says, amazing grace. Because grace is the hand of God reaching down. Not only that, but grace tells us that God forgets what he forgives. That's just powerful here. God forgets what he forgives. Our God is a forgiving God. And God does not keep a record of our sins. We are the only ones who keep up with other folks' sins. I'm trying to point that out for you. Every time you see the cross, it is a reminder that our God is a God who forgives. On the cross, Jesus submitted a righteous requisition for the pardoning of our sins. On the cross, a divine transaction took place to cancel a debt we could not pay. On the cross, an offering was made to substitute a life that was innocent for our lives that are guilty. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, this is the shouting part. This is the shouting part. Not only does he forgive our sins, but he also forgets our sins. He forgets our sins, not because he's old and senile, but because he has, or not because, rather, he has Alzheimer's and can't remember. God forgets our sins as an act of his will. He forgets on purpose. He forgets intentionally. He forgets because he wills to forget. Let me try to point it out for you like this. There's a story about a pastor who was preaching one Sunday about the many different ways that God talks to man. He said, God talks to us through music and worship and scripture. God talks to us through nature and events and experiences. God talks to us through trouble and trials. God primarily talks to us through his word. And he said, sometimes God talks to us through others. God has many ways of talking to us. And so after the sermon, one of the members shook his head and said, Pastor, I enjoyed your sermon. And you are right. God talks to me. Face to face. And God talks to me out loud, just like I'm talking to you. So the pastor said, face to face, sister? Come on now. And he talks to you out loud? She said, yes, pastor. He comes into my bedroom and talks to me loud and clearly. And she was getting loud and drawing attention. So the pastor masterfully, rather quickly, thought of a way to silence her. So he said, sister, the next time God comes in your room to make sure it is God, you ask God, what was the last sin I committed? She said, I committed? He said, no. Ask him to tell you the last sin your pastor committed. She said, all right, pastor, if you say so. So 6 or 7 weeks later, the pastor had really forgotten because, you know, he was just trying to brush her off. So She came back to him and she walked up to him and she said, Pastor, and she was just grinning. She said, Pastor, God came into my room last night. And I did, God. I asked God what you told me to ask him. I asked him, what was the last sin my pastor committed? And he answered me. And the pastor thought rather quickly for a moment, and he realized he better not ask her anything in front of all the people who were standing around. This lady might have heard him for real. So people standing around. Suppose God had spoken to her and told her about his last sin. So the pastor said, go and wait for me in my office. And I'll be there in a few minutes. And so while he was shaking hands with the members, he couldn't concentrate. He was calling people the wrong names. Because he was wondering which sin God may have told her about, which word, which deed, which thought God may have told her. So when he got back to his office, he asked her, what did you ask God? She said, I asked God what you told me to ask him, which was the last sin you committed. And the pastor said, and God answered? She said, yes. Pastor said, what did God say? And the lady said, God told me that he couldn't remember. Hebrews 10 and 17 says, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more, because God forgets what he forgives. Third and finally, grace is the hand of God reaching down. Grace is God forgetting what he has forgiven. When God reaches down and forgives and forgets, we are left with a testimony. We are left with a testimony. Every child of God who has been saved, healed, delivered, every child of God who has been brought through, brought out, brought from, and brought to should have a testimony. When the amazing grace of God has moved in our lives, the amazing grace of God will leave us with a testimony. When the blind man received his sight, the people began to question him. The Pharisees tried to engage him in a theological argument. But this man who had been a recipient of God's amazing grace would not allow himself to be drawn into a debate on the goodness of God. He was in no ways going to argue with anybody about how good God is. And so when they began to question him about his miracle healing, the giving of your sight, he simply said to those religious leaders, I don't have an answer to these questions that you're trying to answer me. In fact, I care not to engage in discussion any longer with you. All I know is this. At one time, I could not see you. But now I can't. He says, I don't understand what has taken place. But one thing I know. Whereas I was blind, now I see. Let me say that again. I can't explain to you the miracle working power of God's amazing grace. All I know is that at one time I could not see, but now my eyes are open. And so the Lord told me to conclude these four sermons by making known to you that every child of God who knows something about the saving grace of God, every every believer who understands the keeping grace of God ought to know one thing. We ought to be able to testify one thing. I know that whereas I was spiritually blind, now I see. One thing I know, that whereas I was a lost sinner in sin, I'm now a saved man or woman by the grace of God. One thing I know, that whereas I was a prodigal, I've now returned to the Father's house. One thing I know, that whereas I used to stumble in the darkness, I now walk in the light. Beautiful light shining from heaven so bright. One thing I know, that whereas I was a child of the devil, I am now a child of the King. One thing I know, that whereas I was a man of the world, I am now in the world, but I'm not of the world. One thing I know, that whereas I once lived as a wretch undone, I've now been brought into the family of God. I'm closing, Brooklyn. Thank you for letting me share these four words on the man born blind. But as I conclude today, every one of us who knows the Lord Jesus Christ ought to know one thing. Some things I may not know. Some places I may not go. But one thing I know. I know I've been born again. I know I better stop, but can I say it just a few more times? One thing I know. I know I'm His, and I know He's mine. I know I'm wrapped and tied up in Jesus. I know my robe has been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I know my name is written down in the Lamb's book of life. I know the angels in the heavens done sign my name. Yeah! Yeah. Well, I promise you, I feel like preaching some more. I promise you. Y'all praying for me to calm down over there? When the Lord opens your spiritually blind eyes, He leaves you with a testimony. One thing. I don't understand it. Because I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, but when I added fasting on to my praying, I don't understand it. Reverend John, you're the one who said that God gave you the purchasing power to get something that you've been trying to get for a long time. I don't understand it. One thing I know, the Lord did it. Let's stand on our feet today. Let's stand on our feet.
This concludes the broadcast of Brooklyn Baptist Church. In order to obtain a copy of this service in its entirety, please reference number 020319. 020319. Amazing Grace. Give us a call, 803-796-6103. 803-796-6103 is the number to call. Please get this series, the Blind Man series, which includes Amazing Grace. Here's a word from my very own pastor. Hello, Pastor.
Hello. I am Reverend Charles B. Jackson, Senior Pastor of the Brooklyn Baptist Church.
I want to take a moment and thank you for tuning into our weekly broadcast. Consider joining us at our weekly service, 8:15 a.m. or 11 a.m. If you would like to contribute to the ministry of building the next generation of believers, please go to our website at www.brooklandbaptist.org and click on the giving icon. We look forward to meeting you and your family in the future at Brookland. Have a blessed week.